You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Conor McGregor! You gotta come back and fight somebody! I'll see you at the top!
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker! The king is back!
This is the end. My only friends, the end. That's right. This is the last episode of Tough Hang, at least for covering season 31 of The Ultimate Fighter. Perhaps a more appropriate reference would be the horror, if we're talking Apocalypse Now references, based on how things went for... My microphone's off kilter here. Based on how things went for Team McGregor this season. But we will get to that. This is your host, Alexander K. Lee, of course, joined once again by my esteemed co-host, GC Connor Burks.
Sad day, man. Sad day. I can't believe we made it. Can't believe we made it to the end. It's surreal, I have to say. Making it through my first season of Tough, it's a surreal moment for me.
You were so bright-eyed and cheery on the first episode, and you were really into the show. I really felt like you were into the show. I'm even more so now. Right? Yeah, okay.
I watched every episode. I wore the Tough jersey for the last 2.5 months. But yeah, we can get into final reviews at the end of the episode.
Oh, yes, for sure. We definitely have to do a season ending recap. And of course, we're also joined by producer extraordinaire, E. Casey Layton. Casey, this won't be the last Ultimate Fighter. I don't know if we're doing Tough Hang anymore, but there will be more Ultimate Fighter. The show will never end. It will never end.
Get it together.
We had our final fight of the season, Ruko DeShulo versus Cody Gibson. Conor McGregor's last chance to get one of his original picks into the finals. And as we just saw, Ruko could not pull it off despite a valiant effort. Had a little bit of bad luck, one might say. Cody Gibson gets the finish, arm triangle on the ground. GC, your thoughts on the fight?
One-sided. I mean, it was. I was hoping for something from Ruko, but... Yeah, I mean, well, once it went to the ground, it was pretty much a wrap. It looked for a second like Ruko had something there, but nah, it just wasn't meant to be. I mean, it was domination from pillar to post. I know he said a lot about slipping, about tripping, but it felt like the fight was going to inevitably end up on the ground, and from there, it was all Cody Gibson.
Let's talk about the slip. We have to. It pretty much defined the fight. It led directly to Cody being able to get the fight to the ground. We had a little pre-show discussion. We don't want to talk about it too much. We want to save it for the viewers here. I thought, oh no, Ruko is another victim of the UFC Apex. Well, I guess UFC Octagon in general. The vinyl ads on the mat, they're all over the place. I thought he was the victim of a slip because of that. I replayed it multiple times. It was a little unclear. Casey, I know our producer, Casey, you disagree. You think that the slip, there was another reason for it.
No, he just fell down. He just didn't pick up his foot when he was moving forward and he fell down. It had nothing to do with the vinyl, the canvas. I mean, the canvas is actually sticky. It's not vinyl. It's not slippery at all. It's actually, if anything, it's actually sticky. So nothing actually slides on it. That's why all the fighters, like you see him after the fight, their knees are just completely like just torn apart from mat burns. But it was just he just slipped, fell down, and that's not an excuse for the ass kicking he got, in the sense that he can blame that. That was just, you slipped, you should recover, he takes your back and everything, but that fight was just so symbolic of the entire season of, as far as like the level of competition with the veterans versus the prospects. That was just like perfect on almost.
Casey, you're coming off a little harsh. You are an undefeated fighter. Okay. Not everyone can be that way. And Ruko is not undefeated. He was not undefeated going to the show. Clearly he's not undefeated now. There was also the mat was very bloody. We've said many times, clearly they film more than one fight per episode. It did look like this was after the, maybe this is Katona.
I think
Katona Believe.
Yeah.
I think they did all four fights the same day.
It feels like it.
The
that would make sense.
Why wouldn't they? Did all four in the same day.
Yeah, why wouldn't they? So that could have, I think that could have made the mat slip. I mean, it's clean. They clean it, you know, thoroughly between each match.
First of all, he didn't slip. He tripped. A slip goes whoop. He just like tripped. He didn't slip.
We should have a poll.
Also, just like it's just, to me, I'm with Casey. Like it doesn't feel like that is what made the difference in the fight. Like was Rico just going to stuff every takedown? Was he just going to catch him and knock him out?
Maybe
you can't play by that game. You can't play by that game. If you had such a huge advantage over this guy, and the only thing that caused you to lose was you going to the ground, then you should have been able to get back up.
Or you should have been able to survive that round and not get 10-7, even if you made it out of that round. And then you dominate the next two rounds because you're not going to slip on the bloody mat.
GC, we need to do a jersey swap because you are not doing Team Blue proud right now with this Rico slander joining in. My goodness, guys.
It's true. That's true. Shit. Rico, I didn't even think about that.
Rico called it a slip multiple times after, as soon as he was submitted, arm triangle submission. As soon as he lost, was up like, damn, he's just swearing. The Boston came out of him. Like, I can't believe I slipped. So he called it a slip. Maybe he meant trip, but he called it a slip.
I'm not really arguing whether or not he slipped or tripped or whatever. Yeah. He clearly fell down
from throwing a strike. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was clear in the replay, but I mean, he got, like Casey said, like that was like a 10-7, unquestionable 10-8, even if they had lasted the entire round. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to get finished several times before the arm triangle got locked in. Like it. I know he was able to get up for a second.
He did. He shimmied out. He's tough.
He technically did shimmy out. Like he got a second chance and then immediately got put into the finishing position.
The ref was generous. The ref was generous in giving him Rico enough time to survive and get out of that round.
Yes.
Because the ref understood what was at stake for the fight, and he didn't. I felt he gave it that proper respect, and he let Rico basically – he gave Rico all the time in the world. And, that's it. So.
If this were an actual exhibition or amateur bout, this would have been stopped well before.
At least a minute before, 90 seconds before.
Because Cody was laying it on him. Cody was an animal.
At one point, he had him in full mount and was just like absolutely raining down shots on him.
And Cody was, go ahead.
And the whole time, I was just like very frustrated watching Rico's defense down there. I was like, Rico, just grab him. Slow the fight down. Rico panicked, honestly, from the bottom, and he just didn't do anything right to just because you can just there's a lot of ways to stall and just try to get to the end of the round.
Was McGregor not yelling that too? I felt like McGregor was like trying to get him to be like stall, like grab him.
Grab Cody's arms, bring him to you, just kind of tie him up, let Cody just burns time off the clock, and hopefully you get to the next round because clearly Rico did not have the skill set. To get out from that, I know he got from mount, but initially Cody didn't have mount. He worked his way to mount, there was just levels to this, and Cody was just clearly, especially on the ground, like many levels above Rico.
It was a lot of bucking. It was a lot of turning. It was a lot of, like, he clearly, wanted to get out of the situation as quickly as possible. And as you said, Casey, like, once a guy gets your back like that, there's just no easy way to work out of it. There's no, he's not Derek Lewis. He's not going to just stand up out of it, as it were. It was tough. It was a very tough situation for Rico.
Felt bad for Rico, like, in the post-fight. And, like, he was like, I'll just try and get back up on the horse. And, like, eyes started welling up and stuff. Tough to see.
No, it sucks for Rico. That it definitely sucks because, you know, I mean, if that fight stays standing, he hits hard. He can win that fight, and he can, you know, he could be fighting on for the tough championship next week.
They should have this week
in Boston.
This week
in Boston. This week in Boston. His hometown.
He lost so much. He lost so much, and I do feel bad for Rico. Absolutely.
They should have called him to fight Mario Bautista.
No, dude.
Come on, guys.
I was hoping it was Timor. I'd like for Timor to get that call, but
Timor would be much better than Rico.
Timor deserves it.
I don't mean to steer the show here, but please. I feel like we're not covering the hottest topic. I know the fight. Big time for Cody Gibson. How about this beef between Cody Gibson and Brad Katona that we now have set up for the finale?
Yes.
Like,
okay,
are we not going to touch on that for the entire first 12 episodes? Like, these dudes hate each other. Like, they are like squabbling in the Tough House kitchen right in front of Michael Chandler. I was just like, where has this been all season? Like, okay, Cody Gibson's dropping like the like, yeah, we hate you, dude. No one likes you.
No one.
There are 16 people in this house. 15 of them hate you.
GC,
yes. Casey, that was middle school-esque, I have to say. Like, they're brutal. Like, no one likes you. Newsflash, no one likes you, bro. It's just like,
I have to ask two things regarding the that drama. One, did you guys get the episode spoiled for you ahead of time? I saw people saying on Sunday somehow the spoiler had leaked. Oh, because a commercial, I think that some regions got a commercial for 292 or something, which supposedly had the finals reveal. I did not see this. I don't know.
I saw some rumor, some tweets, some exes.
Okay.
Ex post about that.
Yeah. And, you know how to do that.
I just quickly looked away. I was like, ooh, I don't want to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. But
there were spoilers out there. Yeah.
Yeah. It did not get spoiled for me. I saw people saying there were spoilers and I was like, okay. But apparently this wasn't the first time that happened. I heard that they had accidentally put an episode on Fight Pass the Sunday before it was supposed to go up. So there apparently were spoilers out there during the season. Not, I don't know for every episode, but apparently it happened before. Secondly, yes, regarding this drama, once they started showing that, were you guys like, oh, well, Cody's going to win. Otherwise, why would they show this? Yeah, GC,
that's good thinking of you. That's good thinking of you. But I did not think that. I was just like, where has this been? Like, they're awkwardly standing there. I mean, Katona just like he was totally comfortable in the extreme awkwardness of just standing there staring at him, having these calm rebuttals to everything he said. Yeah, I was just wondering where this was all season. Like, they clearly were going to wait till the last episode to be like, you're the most self-centered person I've ever met and everyone hates you. Like, where there had to have been some drama before this.
I think
every single episode of Tough Hang that we've done, I've complained about that too. Mm-hmm. About like,
that is not enough. Okay,
we have this house and all these dudes who want to, you know, win, get a UFC contract. They're not super happy all the time. And like, how, and seriously, one episode 12, we've seen 11 episodes. This is the first time any actual house drama. That's insane.
And we had been trying to give the production team the benefit of the doubt. We had said, like, you know, maybe there's just nothing happening. Maybe there's nothing happening. But based on this conversation, it sounds like there was a lot happening. Yeah. It sounds like, holy. They should.
And I wanted to see, stretch that out. I don't need to see Rico and Cody give the whole confessional kind of, they do like, I'm going to win this fight. I'm going to dominate him.
I want to see
more of that drama. Then I want to cut away to Roosevelt Roberts going, yeah, that guy sucks. You know, or something. I want to hear, we didn't get anything from any of the other fighters in the house.
And yeah. They did hint at this before.
Remember?
With that one episode and then nothing happened.
When Katona didn't get on the bus in time. And yeah. Roberts was complaining, and then they didn't show any aftermath.
Where was the I Hate Brad montage? That's what we wanted. Yeah. We wanted
I also would like to have heard more from Chandler's point of view. Chandler was like sitting there awkwardly writing that was in a journal or something.
That was like him and Jennerman. I think it was him and Nate were just like, oh my God, like stuck in between. Yeah, like it was so uncomfortable. Just,
watch again. If you look in the background, one of the coaches is famous Crazy Bob Cook. He's one of the coaches. He's in the background, and he's just like giggling the whole time, going, "Oh man, they're about to fight."
It kind of felt like Cody was a little bit of a bully there. Like,
That's what Brad was trying to say. That's what Brad was saying.
It kind of felt like he was letting everything out, being like, "No one likes you. I'm gonna beat your ass in the finale. You hate fighting." Like, felt like he was really letting everything out, talking about how he doesn't have a family, he would have nothing to leave behind
if
he lost or if he got knocked out. I was like, geez, Cody, like, chill out, man.
I like when Katona goes, okay, well, that's true. I don't have a family. Okay.
True about the kids part. True about the kids part, but I do have a wife.
Well put, sir. Someone wrote, F you, Brad. Like, they showed a note, and I'm like, explain that. Dive into that. I want to know.
Yeah, what was that, dude?
You can't just tease it.
A sticky note on like his drinks or whatever that was like, "Fuck you, Katona. Give me a break, man. Tell me what that's all about. Was it from Cody? Who's that from?"
I'm glad they at least did build it up. Whether it gave it away or not, whether it was too late, at least we got something. At least we got some sort of.
Now there's a little something behind the 292 card.
Yeah, listen. Okay, real quick. Is this the first season where there were zero pranks? Because I remember pranks being used to be a big thing.
To my memory, yeah. I feel like, what was the last season? Pena and Nunez, yeah.
Well, I mean, in previous seasons, like the when they do pranks on the other team, and wasn't that like a big thing? I remember.
Yeah, Ortega and Volkanovski, that was just two seasons ago, were awesome. They did a lot of fun pranks, probably assisted by the show, by the production team, but good. That's the pranks should be. The pranks should be enhanced by the production team. That's what you want to see. It doesn't need to be genuine. It's a TV show.
Yeah, except first, I thought this was a prank episode. I thought they were pranking Brad. And I was like, oh, no, they just don't like him.
that's a terrible prank. No, you know, I guess it's hard to do a prank war when one of the coaches is not really around. I think that might have been an issue. They're like, "Oh, can we prank Connor today?" It's like, "Yeah, Connor's
Chandler?
Not here, man."
Because Chandler made his first appearance at the house when Connor.
I was going to say
Connor comes to the house every week.
We got two trips to the house for Chandler this episode. Waited till the final episode, but we got two visits. I like the crawfish boil.
Oh,
felt
kind
of weird though. Crawfish boil with both teams, but then McGregor. Was I tripping or did he just take his team to the stage?
He only took his team, but I was okay with that. Nice. That felt like extra. That felt like an extra thing that McGregor, I assume,
gave a thousand chips. I was hoping that we were going to get like a behind the scenes of what they actually gambled, or did it just go and cash out the chips and take $1,000? Maybe someone got on a hot streak. One other note about the dinner. I don't know how poor I am. I don't know how broke I am. I've never seen a steak on fire delivered to your table, and like he was eating it, McGregor obviously eating it like while it was still on fire.
GC, as I revealed on a recent preview show, I only eat at Michelin star restaurants, so obviously I have seen this before. I can assure you it is extremely expensive.
Does it have a name?
You know, it's French and I can't pronounce it right now, but I'll tweet it out later.
That's really a thing.
I think so. I think you could set anything on fire. When I realized that you could fry anything, I'm like, well, surely if you can fry anything, you can set anything on fire, because that did look wonderful.
Shout out to McGregor taking him to the Fertitta's restaurant.
Class move.
Company man.
And yeah, and that's how I know a lot of that was comped too. So I was like, as much as I'm saying, Connor, you know, did pay probably for some of it. A lot of it was comped. Probably the chips, almost for sure. I guarantee the chips were just a gift to Connor that he could give to his team.
And also, I mean,
seeing anything here about the steak was on fire on the plate. It blew my mind.
What's it called in general? A souffle. A souffle. You know, flaming souffle, right? Did they do that? That's a thing.
No,
right?
No. A souffle?
It's a souffle. What am I thinking?
Not
of?
What a steak is.
Flambé.
A filet.
Flambé.
Flambé.
Isn't
flambé a dessert?
I think so, but again, it's a flaming dessert. Theoretically, you could do flambé. I just googled this. Not that I needed to. I knew this, but just so I could find the proper wording. The French word for flamed or flaming. So you could, you know.
Okay. So like a flambé is covered in liquor. Do you think they covered the steak in proper 12 and then literally?
I would hope so.
Steak flambé. So. I found it. Here it is. Yeah, sure enough.
GC, we're getting a little in the weeds here. GC, we're getting a little in the weeds here.
I mean, listen, I'm trying to open my eyes to new cultural experiences.
What did you think of who was it? Who did the speech? Carlos. What do you think of Carlos's speech?
Yeah, he just came like the best man of the wedding. He was just like, "Cody, post fight too."
Yeah, I just love how like he's just like, yeah, can we say like incredibly nice things about you? And McGregor's just like 1,000%, 1,000%.
By all means, go. Don't let me stop you. Please. Yeah, the relationship between the fighters and the coaches is so interesting. I wonder, was Brad invited to that dinner? I'd have to watch it again. Did they invite Brad?
Was he at the table?
I can't remember if he was there or not.
He wore the blue jersey during the face-offs. We can talk about the face-offs a little bit here. GC, do you feel like Team McGregor has a gut? This is for originally drafted by Team Chandler fighters, by the way, in the final. We should be clear. Yes, Katona trains with McGregor and Kavanaugh outside of the show. Yes, he went over and switched teams, but technically this was a guy drafted by Chandler. On the other hand, the whole drafting process was pretty asinine and boring. It sucks that they just said, oh yeah, well, this whole group of guys with you, this whole group of guys with you, instead of going one by one. So I'm okay. GC, do you want to claim one having one blue jersey in the finale?
Yeah, but like you're going to have the asterisk by it. It's four vets. I also have to say, pat ourselves on the back. You weren't here for the prediction show where we tried to predict what was going to happen. We went 0-4. We got all four wrong.
Is that true?
Yeah, we said it was going to be Rico and Valiv versus who was it? The other two, Jason Knight and whoever Hubbard beat in the final. We were wrong on all accounts. We went 0-4.
Thank goodness you can't actually wager on the show, because I'm sure you would have, and obviously it would have gone poorly. Katona, I said rocking the blue. I also noted his post, sort of the hype video, little hype video. He was like, I am going to be clinical in there and do... He essentially said, I'm going to be boring. He's like, I'm letting you guys know, I am going to be boring. Great job there. We got the Chandler-McGregor face-off.
That was good. McGregor growled at him like a dog.
And that made me laugh. I don't know why. I just laughed out loud. And then immediately after, I was like laughing, and then like, I'll see you at the fight. I'll see you at the fight. I'm like, that's weird. Yeah. That's not normal behavior.
You said betting. We don't have a line yet for Katona, for the Katona fight. Kurt Holub currently a +150 underdog to Austin Hubbard on Saturday.
GC, give us a little No Bets Barred preview here. I know you guys are going to record the show. This has to be part of the show.
I mean, we'll talk about it, but I don't know, man. You just said it. Thank God I wasn't able to bet on any of this, because I would have gone 0-4. I don't know if I'm going to start betting on Saturday. I mean, as a fan of the show, as a diehard tough guy, I might just enjoy as a fan.
So you said, Holubaugh underdog.
Holubaugh underdog to Hubbard.
+185.
+150. Man, you really didn't hear any of that, huh?
I didn't hear anything that you just said. I will listen. I will have to listen to the show, because I do want to hear your thoughts, because you got to break this down for Jed. He did guest on one episode, I believe, but he doesn't. I don't think he has that feel for it. I like Katona, probably, and I like Holubaugh. I like Holubaugh's underdog. Casey, what do you think? You got picks for these finals?
The finals. I'm going for Holubaugh just because coming into the show, I had no idea why he was even part of the vet cast. He's someone that had a very bad UFC run. He had a bad Strikeforce run. He's a guy that once he left the UFC, I was like, okay, he'll fight a few more times on the regional circuit and move on with his life. I honestly can't believe how good he did on the show. and that's all compliments to him. Like, he exceeded expectations, I think, by so much. He was brought in to lose. He wasn't supposed to win his first match.
He almost lost to Lee Hammond. Like, he should have lost to Lee Hammond, honestly.
I mean, he should really have just had... Lee Hammond was the better fighter, but Lee Hammond made a mistake. Yeah. And then Holubaugh just, got a guillotine on him or something like that. And it was supposed to be Lee Hammond in the finals. I think by design, that's what they wanted. And, congratulations to Kurt Holubaugh. I feel like Tuff did a good job in that sense. I do know Kurt Holubaugh now. I feel like that. I know he's got seven dogs. I know like him and doing that little, when he talked to his family, I was like, oh man, that's real. That wasn't just, I'm talking to my family. That was legit. And I like that. And I'm picking Holubaugh, but I won't be shocked if Hubbard wins, honestly. But my heart is going for Kurt Holubaugh.
I think one thing we've said several times is that the quote unquote veterans on the show should have just been brought back. They shouldn't have to go through this. And I stand by that for the most part. But yes, Kurt Holubaugh is probably a guy who was not going to get a UFC deal out of the blue unless it's a short notice replacement. He would have to jump through some sort of hoop. He is the one. And again, I wouldn't be excited. Like, I like Kurt Holubaugh. I wouldn't be excited if you told me Kurt Holubaugh is like back in the UFC, signed on to fight whoever, some contender series guy. I'd be like, oh, cool, Kurt Holubaugh's back. I wouldn't really think about it. But after seeing him in The Ultimate Fighter, I'm like actively rooting for him to come back
100%
and have some sort of career. He doesn't have to challenge for a world title, but come back at 4, 5, 6 UFC fights under his belt, get a fight night bonus in there somewhere. Like, what a fine way that would be to end his career, however many fights he has left. And this is the most we've talked about Kurt Hallebaugh ever in life. So in that sense,
it did its job. I'm cheering for Kurt Hallebaugh. I'm honestly cheering for Katona too. The way that Gibson was going at him. Oh yeah, I'm cheering for Katona, baby. Oh, let's go, Team Brad, Team Blue, baby.
I'm big time Cody Gibson.
Let's go. Good. You're the side of the bully. I'm here for the little people.
No, he's not a bully. He's a truth teller.
Yeah, sure. That's how bullies phrase bullying.
Yeah. Oh, so all 15 guys in the house were bullies, huh?
I was going to say, 15 out of 16 people. That's a pretty strong sample.
Army of one, baby. That's what we've always been. The boys in the blue, army of one. Let's go, Brad Katona.
If they had done an I Hate Brad montage, that would have been the best, worst.
Yeah, that would have been
amazing. Why did they not cut away? They do interviews of everyone, just every single guy go, yeah, I don't. Thinking how hilarious that would have been. Once they say that, then a montage of every fighter going, yeah, I don't know about that Brad guy.
Plus, I'm trying to see the ultimate fighter.
I like multimate. I think you've said before you like ultimate. I like multimate. Yeah. I thought multimate was funny.
Either way, we can make shirts. We can brand this out. We can really do something sick here.
What a feather in his cap that'd be for Katona. The first guy to win two Ultimate Fighters.
That's not a thing. That should not be a thing. That's like getting a contract on the Contender Series, going to the UFC, getting cut, and then going back on the Contender Series and getting another contract.
It's two times.
Like, well, it is.
Two times.
You're just going to have to deal with it. The ultimate fighter.
The ultimate fighter. I want to repeat the commentary. You know, afterwards, we got a little promo for UFC 292, pretty standard UFC stuff. And then they have to show McGregor and Chandler, and it was phrased as this: Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler set their sights on a future Octagon showdown. Of course, they did not announce a date. We all know there is no date for this fight yet. What's our final confidence level check, guys? I think, Casey, you have long been, this is not happening. This is never happening.
GC, I don't even want to see it. I don't care about it.
You don't even want to see anywhere.
I am more interested in Kurt Hallebaugh's fight than Conor McGregor versus.
Come off it. Come off it.
No, I'm dead serious. Like, Conor McGregor versus anyone is like cool, whatever. Dude, I'm not this Conor McGregor guy. I'm just not. I'm like, he's just another rich guy.
If Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler was this weekend, you're telling me you would be more excited for the Hallebaugh fight than you would be for Chandler McGregor?
Well, okay, in divisional rankings and in significance to the sport, of course, you know, Chandler McGregor makes more sense. But in terms of like, oh, I actually care about that person, I am more invested in the person, Kurt Hallebaugh, than Conor McGregor and Chandler fighting each other.
Casey out of zero.
Die hard Kurt Hallebaugh fan.
Yeah.
I'm just
out of zero.
That's a guy level, like, yeah. he's going from his little farm in Louisiana to like getting a UFC contract. I mean,
we love Kurt Hallebaugh.
We're going a guy from like multi millionaire and like, okay, cool, he'll make another couple million bucks. I just don't care for that.
Financially speaking, sure.
Yeah, that's why I care more about Kurt Hallebaugh. Of course, in the grand scheme of MMA rankings, all that blah, 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 you know. Yeah, of
legacy,
course. Yeah.
History. Legacy,
yeah. Yeah, I get
potential
it.
Potential excitement of fight. Yeah. I mean,
Conor versus anybody, Chandler versus anybody would obviously be more important.
Must watch TV.
So, Casey, at a firm zero as far as level of interest and also at the chances of the fight happening, GC, where are you as far as chances of the fight happening?
You said level of interest. Level of interest is, I mean, it's a 9 out of 10. Like, oh, I mean, this.
Damn.
What do you want me to say? Like, if it happens, I will be there no matter what. Like, I will be sitting in front of my TV. I will be watching it 1,000%. In terms of it actually happening, I mean, the talks have ramped back up. Like, we got Dana being like, he's going to fight Chandler. That's going to happen. He's now saying, yes, it's going to be Chandler. I was just kind of messing around. Just when does it happen? Give me January pay-per-view, McGregor Chandler. That's my final prediction.
Yeah, I think we all came down on it's not going to happen this year. It could. All the USADA
December.
Stuff. My best friend Mike Heck has been saying on Heck of a Morning all the time, don't worry about the USADA stuff. If they want him to fight in December, they're going to find a way to make him fight.
Well, Bitcoin, yeah, if they break every protocol and rule and regulation that they have, yeah, if it can happen in
they
the
don't
next
care.
Week if they wanted
yeah.
to.
But I agree. I think early next year is more likely. It's a great way for them to start their 2024 calendar year right off the bat. Just like they're in, it puts them in the black, right? I mean, that's a good thing, right? I'm not a money guy. In the black is good. McGregor fight puts him in the black right out of the gate.
He fought Cerrone in January, so we know he's open to January pay-per-views.
It's a good month for him. It's a good month for McGregor. Did the first Poirier loss also happen in January? Anyway. Someone said.
Oh yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Maybe I'm getting.
No, it was also. I think he also fought Cerrone in January. I know you're correct on that. Yeah. Someone in the comments last week said this show would have been way much better with Tony Ferguson instead of Chandler. WTF? They choose Chandler. Why the f did they choose Chandler? I don't know if I agree with that. Jeez, how do you guys feel?
I want
Ferguson and McGregor. As coaches.
As far as just stupid house drama.
We didn't really see that much of either.
I don't know.
Yeah. There's no drama because they're never together. And I don't know. It's like until like the actual fights and then occasionally after the fights they yip yap. I know. I thought, but yeah, I guess. I mean, sure. I don't know.
would the fight be more? No, not you said no McGregor fight is interesting anymore. GC,
it's not that. No, yeah. we're talking about level of interest I got from the show for the fight. The season of Tough did not give me any more interest for McGregor versus Chandler. You couldn't have that fight 6 months ago before the show happened. My interest would be the same. That's what I mean. Show did not pique any interest at all for me. The show did pique interest for me in Curt Hollibaugh's career. That's what I mean. Okay.
That's what I've been saying. I say this.
Eloquently put.
I repeat it until they change it, that like having the fighters be the coaches is such a waste of time. And it's also the fact is most of these fighters don't want to be on TV for that long. And even McGregor this year sounded like disinterested at times at doing it. Like it's just, he's done this dance before. He's coached the show before. He didn't want to do it. Like get people who want, get Chael Sonnen on here. Get Matt Serra on here. Get retired fighters. Could you get a Daniel Cormier coaching season? That would be amazing. Like
honestly, I thought Chandler wanted to be there. I thought Chandler actually.
Chandler was fine. Chandler was
a great coach. I think he generally cared for these guys. So I have no issue with Chandler in the show.
He wasn't like a super dynamic personality though. He was a good coach. He wasn't like a super dynamic personality. I say get people who you know are good TV personalities and want to coach. Don't worry about hyping up a fight. It's so pointless. It just doesn't matter. As Casey so eloquently put it, it rarely builds up that much more anticipation for the fight. You got to just put them in the cage and let people who aren't fighting handle coaching. It'd just be more interesting. And I don't know.
Can I throw a hypothetical?
Of course.
If from episode one, if it was Chandler, they got the prospects and McGregor, they got the vets, would the records been the same?
I still think the vets would have. One, maybe Chandler squeezes.
No,
1,000%,
1,000%. Vets still dominate. There's no question about it.
Yeah,
I mean, because we talk about this coaching, are good coaches, bad coaches, but then if we switch teams, we go records would be the same. That's all. So I mean, I don't know what we learned as far as coaching.
Oh, nothing. It was not like McGregor. I don't think McGregor's a great coach. By the way, how about shout out to him doing some sparring in like a dress shirt in this episode. That was fun. I don't know why.
The polo. Yeah, the athletic polo. I love that.
Why? Just why? I guess that's a McGregor brand clothing probably. He doesn't miss a step. He doesn't miss a step. I will say the man does not miss a trick. But yes, if you switch around, maybe Chandler could squeeze out one more win out of there. But I'm honestly not sure.
It's
6-2.
Were they really doing? Yeah, like how much were they really affecting it?
Yeah, and we know this with the vets too. Like the vets, I'm sure enjoying the food, being able to focus on training, enjoying the comforts of the house. But other than that, they're not greatly increasing their takedown defense. They're striking. They're in the house for it doesn't matter how long they're in there.
I have a bit of breaking news in terms of when the fight happens. McGregor, two of his last three fights taking place in January. Let's just go ahead and make it 3 of 4 this January. UFC 297. There it is.
297. If you could place a bet on that, would you? If it was you're getting plus on that, plus odds.
No. I'm a degenerate. I'm not that big of a degenerate.
I want to go on a positive note, guys. This has been a wonderful experience. Let's just talk about some of our favorite moments from the show. There's so many, but GC, you can start us off.
Well, I was going to say, if we're going to go out on a positive note, do we want to do the final reviews of Tough first?
No, that's will not be ending on a positive note, I don't think. So
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, do the reviews.
Do that before we finish on the positive note.
Yeah. Good point. Let's we'll go in order of probably least positive to most positive. I could be wrong. I don't know. Casey, start us off. We start off. You were the in-between. You've watched a lot of Tough seasons. You definitely had not watched a full season in a long time before Ultimate Fighter 31. You had to come back so we could, you know, Tough hang out a little bit. What's your thoughts on the season?
Boring.
Mm-hmm.
Just mostly just boring. Boring and frustrating. I think that's the biggest thing. Frustrating, especially with the last episode, seeing that there was some house drama, some real house drama, not some kind of let's throw a bunch of alcohol in the house and see if they get drunk type of drama. This was actually, no, these guys, we're like, oh, are they good fighters? But are they also good roommates? And it turns out that maybe Katona isn't a good roommate either. So I want to see more of that because like these guys, they're away from their families, and which we saw a lot of that. We know they miss their families a lot. And they're stuck with people in a house that eventually they will have to try to beat up. And those people are also trying to beat them up. And that's got to be really stressful for, I don't know how many weeks they're in there, 6-12 weeks, I don't know. But I wanted to see more of that. And they gave us a little bit in the very last episode. And I was like, oh, there's so much kind of cool stuff. And that was in the house, but we didn't see it. So my grade for the show, boring and frustrating. But I am a Kurt Holaba fan.
Okay, so solid C minus? Is that generous?
C.
Is
D plus a thing?
D plus is absolutely a thing.
All right, D plus.
D plus, wow, okay. GC, please. I assume you can only go up from there.
I mean, yeah, we won't go up much. I'm going to give it a C minus. You said it earlier in the show. Like, it's a TV show. This is meant for entertainment. And now that I've gone through an entire season, watched every single week, multiple times a week, honestly, so I've seen it through, it just lacks entertainment value. It's just too formulaic. It's too cut and dry. They don't highlight the things that I wanted to see. Like, I wanted to see the drama. I wanted to see more of Chandler. I wanted to see more of McGregor. We got the coaches challenge, which was like a fun thing. Didn't get that till episode 11. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of with what Casey said, like or maybe it was you who just said it, that we get two coaches that want to be there, that can commit all their time to it, that don't necessarily have to be hyping up a fight, that are personalities. And you just go hard for however long the show is going to be, and you make it entertaining, you make it dramatic, you make it fun. Like, in terms of a reality show, I would rather be watching The Bachelor, the Challenge, Survivor. Like, I would take any of those real, authentic reality shows. Actually, I don't know how authentic they are. One of those real, like, famous reality shows over this any day of the week. And watching MMA is one of my favorite things to do. And this is an MMA reality show. You think I would have enjoyed it more?
It's a reality show that somehow takes a lot of the fun and excitement out of MMA, which is probably one of the worst things I can say. I guess I'll agree.
And it takes a lot of the fun and excitement out of a reality show. Uh-huh. Like, reality shows are supposed to be like, turn your brain off. Just like, let me relax, not think about anything in the outside world. Like, this is just supposed to be dumb entertainment. Honestly, a lot of the times, at the misfortune of the contestants on the show, this had next to none of that.
I'll go with the C. Like I said, I'll go with the C minus. I think I agree. I want to say C, but I don't. In good conscience, I can't lie to the American people and say I enjoyed this season that much. I enjoyed covering it with you guys. I mean, that I loved. I loved watching it along with everyone who tuned into Tough Hang every week. That part was great. The programming itself,
agree.
A bit of a struggle at times. As someone who has not missed a season, I was really disappointed that they didn't take more opportunities to just try and play around with the format a little bit. Like, familiar is good, But that's if the formula you have is like killer. If you've got a killer formula, by all means, run that back every season. Get the people what they want. But again, this show has been this way, stagnant, disinteresting, completely undynamic for at least 10 editions, probably more, a dozen, maybe the past dozen editions of the series. They need new ideas. They need to tweak the format. They need to really dig into any drama they have. Yes, this episode was so revealing as to what the show maybe could have been. Maybe based on the cast, maybe based on the coaches, there's nothing that would have elevated this to like A-level programming. I completely understand that, but it does feel like we didn't even get the best possible season we could have gotten.
Yeah. And we like, also it feels like in a lot of reality shows, you're building towards something. And I understand mm-hmm. that we were building to the finales that we're going to get at 292. But like, it also didn't feel like we were building towards anything at all. And it felt like there was no real payoff. Like, mm-hmm. let me ask you guys this, you know, say you are next season, you have zero obligation to watch it. We're not doing Tough Hang. You're not writing your articles, anything like that. It's just your own free will. Are you sitting down and are you watching Tough season 32?
You can't ask me that question. Casey, go ahead.
No, I'm asking you that again.
I will answer. I'll let Casey go first.
Unless it's literally like a fighter I personally know, who is, again, they're like someone I train with, like, oh, they're in the Tough House. I might watch it for that, maybe. A big, big, big no. No.
No, there's no shot I am.
I will cover Tough until I die. I will watch it as a fan. No. I will cover fighting.com.
That's what I'm asking. Nope. Don't want to hear about how you're covering it. Do not want to hear about how you're covering it.
Okay, you're right.
I'm saying you have zero obligation.
I definitely can't answer this question then. Because when it comes around every year and someone asks, do we want to cover The Ultimate Fighter? I am the first one at the meeting raising my hand. You're like, you're damn right. We want to cover it. And I'm going to do it. So I can't be asked. But to me, this is my Simpsons, guys. This is my Simpsons. Do you guys watch The Simpsons anymore every week? You know that show is still on every week. New episodes.
No, and I don't.
You know, Simpsons are fine now, but I moved on.
Yeah.
They had those 10 great seasons in the late 90s or whatever, and then I was like, okay, I moved on. And
That's how most people feel about it too, I think. And of course, Simpsons probably gets much, much, much higher weekly ratings than The Ultimate Fighter ever will. But the point is, it has lost cultural impact. When people reference The Simpsons, they're generally referencing, like you said, Casey, that prime, you know, 10 seasons, which everyone of a certain age group watched. Those references will live on forever. Those episodes will live on forever. And I'm probably there with The Ultimate Fighter right now. Like, I can make so many references to some of the better, greater seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, great champions from the past, great moments. I will struggle to reference anything. Maybe this season, just because I did it with you guys, but like seasons 30 to 22, 21, going back that far, I'm not going to be able to remember. I can't remember stuff from those seasons. So this is my Simpsons. I'm sticking with it. I know it has no cultural relevancy anymore, but I just have to do it. It's in my blood now. Respect. Favorite moments, guys.
I'll kick us off. I mean,
please.
When McGregor finally got the finish, that was great. The DeShulo, just like the whole story around him and everything.
Big Team Blue knockout moment.
Big Team Blue moment. McGregor going absolutely bananas in the Apex, running all around, going crazy. That was good.
This was a list, Connor. This was a list of things.
the Holub Jason Knight fight was incredible.
Yes, of course.
That has to be up there.
That's a top five fight of the year. I am telling you, I will be campaigning for this for the next 4 months, that people put this in their top five list. I think that fight is so good.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing. You guys got anything? I'm trying to think here.
The talking about the dog curse was
the dog curse. Yes.
The highlight of the season. Every week it just kept going and going and going. And I'm like, they know what they're doing. They have to.
That was amazing. I agree.
We started to wonder, do both fighters have dogs? And they just didn't show one fighter's dog as like a tip off. Was the production crew trying to like tip people off to who was going to win? I don't know. But it was such a weird phenomenon. I think at the end, we did realize it was more of a McGregor issue than a dog issue. But for me, and I've said this before, I know I'm a monster, someone who's not a huge fan of canines. I loved, I'm that guy. There's not that many of us, so I don't
know
any of that guy.
Cat guy.
One guy. A huge
are you
cat
a cat guy?
Big time. Big time cat. Love cats. I'm glad I said that. By the way, I'm glad I said this on this episode because I don't think – if I think I said on episode one, that's immediate like unsubscribe, block.
Have to be, yes. Oh,
so I'm glad I mentioned it now.
We can't monetize. Yeah.
I'm a monster. I'm not defending it. I'm a monster, and I know this. So I was happy to be able to blame dogs for the losses, but it really wasn't their fault. Those adorable little pups, it wasn't their fault. We know that now. The Black Forge Irish Stout Stew I thought was also wonderful. Conor McGregor coming over. He's like,
that was good. Hey, let's just go ahead and sum it up to all of the product placement visits by McGregor. The,
go.
The
what do you got?
Rowing, the yep, rowing McGregor. Race.
That was
McGregor Fast. The hangout where they all got drunk on Proper 12, and he did the fake staircase. That was an all-time moment.
Oh, the staircase. That
might
go.
Be a
the
top
staircase.
10 moment for me, where he did the fake staircase. That was a he's just like me moment. I think that was it. Those three. Forge Irish Style, McGregor Fast, and the Proper 12.
I do want to say this week's shirt, I was probably an August McGregor shirt, if that's what August McGregor is. I don't know what kind of clothes, but that is his clothing brand. So probably four. We probably got August McGregor in there. Casey, anything else jumping
August
out?
August McGregor, he has a clothing brand?
He does. August McGregor is a relative of his?
Was that one of the questions when they were at Tub?
Huh?
Was that one of the questions about Connor?
It should have been.
why is it called Proper 12?
Whoop ass and look good.
Why is it called Proper 12?
Well, we know because of the district in Crumlin that he lived in, something to that effect. I can't remember why it's called August McGregor. If anyone knows, people by all means throw that out there.
I can tell you right now. I can tell you right now, whoop ass and look good. The simple quote that has served as the premise of this joint partnership. August McGregor is the menswear brand created by Conor McGregor and the luxury custom clothier David August, offering select curated range of athleisure, casual wear, and accessible suiting for the bold and spirited fans of Conor and his style. All right, I guess I'm going to have to order a little August McGregor here.
You got the Proper 12 in the back. You've had it there all season. You got that Forge Irish Stout. I'm surprised you're not wearing a McGregor Fast hat. Maybe we'll see that in the future. But yes, it's been a season. Would you agree with that? It's been a season.
Yeah, technically. Yeah, by definition, yes.
It's been a season of television. We all watched it together. Ultimate Fighter, 31 seasons going, guys. And I honestly don't think that they're going to stop. I think Dana loves it. And again, this one probably did better numbers than your average Tough season. So if you're
no doubt,
plus,
no doubt,
you're like,
it
run it back, run it back. But I don't know. I will tell people now, I don't know if we'll be doing Tough Hanging in the future. I had to fight hard to get this show going. They're like, why would
you
do a lot?
You had to
fight not that hard. I mean, that, not that. I had Connor involved, but I do think, I will say, the powers that be were probably like, really? Do people want to tune in to a post-Ultimate Fighter show in the year of our Lord 2023? And I was they do. You're damn right
them,
they do.
We charged them so much to do this. Yeah, I'm sure it was a really difficult decision for them.
So I don't know if we'll be doing Tough Hang in the future. Obviously, we probably would not have done Tough Hang this season if Conor McGregor wasn't involved. If this was like Zhang Weili and Amanda Lamoche building up to like UFC 292,
we will not be back for that.
You're probably not. Yair Prochazka and Alex Pereira, if they become Tough coaches next season or something, if that fight gets pushed back, probably you won't see us. And also the viewership.
I'll be so much more interested in Yair as a coach.
Casey's back.
I'm down for Yair Pereira. That would be amazing.
And when they introduce the super heavyweights and the atom weights in the same season, eight super heavyweights, eight atom weights. This is how we.
Sign me up for all of this.
I think there's a chance. I don't want to make promises to people, but I'm saying if something like that happened, you might not have seen the last.
What's the singular moment that people are going to remember from this season? You know, everyone's got, you know, the
the shove.
You know, you get Rampage kicking through the door. You got, I don't know, what's some other moments? Just let me bang, bro. You know, yeah.
It's the shove. They showed it so many times before the show even aired. People will use it for reactions. Our own GC, I'm sure, has already used it for some sexy meme. That he's always throwing
you
out there.
Do it. Yeah, I don't know about sexy, but yeah.
guys, I think that's a wrap, though. I think we got to wrap. I know we've been trying to hang on there. I know we're trying to, you know, we don't want to leave the party. They're turning the lights on.
And I know this is the last time we're gonna be in this frame here. Last time we're gonna do this intro outro. Maybe we'll be back. I mean, sure. If they do something really special, like you said, if they debuted like the Adam Waite and like that's how they decided the champion. Mm-hmm. Maybe if it was big stars, maybe. But you know, like you said, if it's Raquel Pennington versus Holly Holm, I'm probably out for next.
Probably. What about Pena? Think about that.
My girl.
Guys, well, again, people will still see plenty of us on the MMA Fighting Network. I'm doing preview shows and podcasts. GC, you're on the MMA Hour all the time. You got No Bets Barred. Casey, the man behind the scenes, on way too many shows. I can't even name them all. But thank you, guys. Thank you, GC. Thank you, Casey. Thank you, everyone who tuned in every week, who's listening on the podcast network, everyone who's checking the show out. It actually has been super fun to do the show.
Yes, that's the biggest thing. A, it has been very fun. I actually have enjoyed this. I'm glad that there was a finish line involved with this. Like, I knew it was just going to end, so I just enjoyed the moment so I had them. You said it. Okay. Thank you to anyone that tuned in.
If I had to watch these shows without... venting to someone what I just watched. If I just watched it, turned the TV off, and just sat in my living room, just like,
okay, that was that.
Yeah, this was therapeutic.
This was therapeutic. Okay, I'll give you that. Yes, all
right. For a lot of people,
I very much enjoyed this.
Right. Thank you, guys.
C minus. C plus to C minus.
As high a C minus as I can put. Casey,
tough,
please.
Tough season 31. C minus. Tough hang season 1. A++.
Big time. Casey, no royalty-free music this week. Let's cue that Sarah McLachlan, and then let's get out of here.
Yeah.
No royalty-free music. Let's go.
I hope you had the time of your life.
Oh, Green Day. Okay.
Yeah, right. Let's go.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Bye.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.